Right, so we are going to start with the first idea, which is on Kadesh and Orchat. So you'll note that there is something somewhat unique to the word Orchat that you don't find in any other of the Simanei Seder. What's unique to Orchat? It has a Vav, right? Kadesh Orchat. So why is it of all of the different Simanei HaSeder, we only have one Vav, and that Vav is for Orchatz. So I'll share with you a beautiful idea that I came across in the Novominsk Haggadah. That's from Rav Yaakov Perlau, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. The Novominsk Rebbe passed away in COVID just a year or two ago. And after he passed away, they printed a beautiful Haggadah with his Divrei Torah. And the Novominsk Rebbe says as follows: if you want to understand why Orchatz Dafka has the Vav, you have to look first at Karpas. So let's think for a moment. Why do we do Orchatz? So the answer is because we are about to eat a wet vegetable. In Halacha, that has significance. In Halacha, that's called Davar Shetibulo B'mashke. Something, a fruit or a vegetable, which is dipped in water. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, people would do Netilas Yadayim before touching a wet fruit or vegetable, just like we do Netilas Yadayim before bread. So we take it as a standard practice. Before you have a bagel, you have to go wash your hands. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when they were much more careful about Toma and Tahara, they would go wash their hands before touching a fruit or a vegetable that was wet. So the question is, why, at the night of the Seder, do we suddenly care about the laws of Toma and Tahara when we don't the rest of the year? So the Netziv explains that one of the themes of the Siddurim is not only Yetzias Mitzrayim, but one of the themes of the Siddurim is that we recreate the conditions like we were in Yerushalayim eating the Korban Pesach. So, if we were Zocha to be in Yerushalayim eating the Korban Pesach, we'd have to be careful about Toma V'Tahara. We'd wash our hands before touching a wet vegetable as it relates to Karpas. So too, even though we are not, unfortunately, Zocha to have Beis HaMikdash, at the night of the Seder, we wash our hands to recreate that feeling, that experience. The Novominsk Rav says, with this in mind, we can understand why there's a Vav for Orchatz. Why? Because the night of the Seder is the night of Kedusha. It's the night of recreating the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So it's Kadesh, and therefore, Orchatz. Isn't that a nice idea? Writes the Novominsker in source number one, the Netziv, in his introduction to the Haggadah, provides a beautiful explanation for why we wash our hands before eating Davar Shetibulo B'mashka on the Seder night. He writes, on this night we act as if we are once again in Yerushalayim partaking in the Korban Pesach. The Netziv notes that, by the way, this is why we wear a kittel. It's written over here in the source sheet as well. In the times of Beis HaMikdash, when you were eating basar kachim, the meat of sacrifices, you had to have special big day tahara, special clothing of purity. So that's the kittel. So tonight, Pesach, we are on a higher spiritual plane than the rest of the year. And we therefore conduct ourselves accordingly, as if we are living in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. With this in mind, we can easily understand the connection between the first two simanim. Kadesh, we begin. Tonight is Kodesh, a holy night, and therefore, Orchatz, we wash our hands. A very sweet idea to start off the Haggadah Shir regarding why we dafka have the Vav in the second of the Simanim for Orchatz. Now let's move on to Karpas. We already discussed the concept of Davar Shetibulo B'mashke. So
Excuse me. I don't understand the wet vegetable. I never heard of that.
So this is a Toma V'Tahara halacha. You've never heard of it because it's not practiced nowadays. But in times of the Beis HaMikdash, just like we wash our hands for bread, they wash their hands before touching a wet fruit and vegetable. The reason is because once something became in contact with a liquid, it became susceptible for Toma. So we try to wash off at least some degree of Tuma from our hands with Netilas Yadayim.
So why is there Urchatz?
As opposed to?
Urchatz.
Oh, that's a good question. The Novominsk Rebbe talks about that in his Haggadah. I didn't put it on the source sheet. I can show you later. He talks about the difference in the way the words are formulated, Kadesh Urchatz versus later on, Rachtza. It's the same It's the same motion, but it is the word is formulated differently. The quick answer, by the way, the Novomensker says, is because the author of the Simanim, which we trace to the Machzor Vitri, one of the students of Rashi, wanted everything to rhyme. So it's Kadesh Orchatz. It wouldn't sound the same if it was Kadesh Rachza. It would mess up the whole tune. Okay, that's the way the Novomensker Ravi explains it. So let's talk about Karpas for now. And we'll talk about the role of the salt water. We dip the vegetable into a salt water. So if you ask a little child that Baruch Hashem goes to yeshiva, why do we have the salt water? So what does the salt water represent? The tears of Am Yisrael as they were suffering terribly under the Egyptians. So I just want to speak about that for a moment, because the concept of shedding a tear is not only relevant for the people that are suffering, but one of the hallmarks of a Jew is the ability to shed a tear for others who are suffering, even if you yourself are not suffering. And that might be what the salt water of Karpas also represents. And there is a beautiful insight of the Cheskuni that encapsulates this idea in a really magnificent fashion. I've shared this Cheskuni before in other contexts, but it's kedai to share again. And if you find a way to share this at the Seder, I really believe you'll be enriching the participants of your Seder. So if you look in source number 2, the Torah tells us regarding Moshe Rabbeinu as he's floating down the Nile River in his little baby basket. So Batya, Paro's daughter, sees this basket. And the Torah tells us that she takes the basket to her. In source number 2, Shmos Perek Beis Pasuk Vav, Vatiftach Vatireyu Es Hayeled. She opens up the basket and she sees the child. Vihinei Na'ar Bocheh. And behold, the lad is crying. Vatachmola Love. She has mercy on this boy. Vatomer Mialdei Ha'ivrim Zeh. And she says, this is one of the children of the Hebrews. So the question is, how did the daughter of Paro know that this baby is from the Jewish people? So the basic answer, of course, is what other Meshugana would place their baby in the Nile River? It must be the Jews who are under duress.
How old is Moshe?
3 months. 3 months old. So, Michael, you're on to a good point, because you'll note that the Pasuk uses two words to describe baby Moshe. Vihinei vatareihu es hayeled. Yeled means the boy. Vihine na'ar bocheh. Na'ar is a young lad, which is strange. But is he a boy? The answer is he was a 3-month-old infant. However, look at what the Cheskuni writes regarding the change of the words. Writes the Cheskuni in source number 3, Vihine na'ar bocheh, and behold, the young lad, the little, wasn't an infant anymore, the toddler was crying, Ra'asa aharon bocheh. Who does Batya see crying? She sees Aaron crying. She'achiv haya. This was Moshe's brother, and Aaron was crying for Moshe's suffering. Lefikach vatomer mialdei ha'ivrim zeh. And Batya says, if one brother could cry for the other's suffering, that is mialdei ha'ivrim zeh. That's the telltale sign that it's a Jew. Isn't that a beautiful insight of the Cheskuni?
That is beautiful.
So then no more, Harold. You say no more.
Yeah,
it is beautiful. Okay, good. Those are good answers based on Midrashim. That's very good. But it's an opportunity when you are dipping the vegetable into salt water and you bring up tears. You can also mention that we don't only cry for our own experiences, but we learn how to develop a sensitivity and cry for others' experience as well. Yitz, if you don't mind, there is another potato kugel in the kitchen on the stovetop. You could just bring it out. We should exactly, absolutely. Good. So now let's move on.
So what?
Yeah, please. So that corresponds to baby Moshe. Vatareyu es hayeled. Batya sees the yeled, the small little infant. Vihine na'ar bocheh. That's describing Aaron. Aaron is crying. And that's why Batya concludes, if one person can cry for the plight of the other, mialdei ha'ivrim zeh.
No, but why is it Karpas?
What? No, so I'm just bringing it up in the context of Karpas, because Karpas is the salt water when we reflect on our tears. So it's not only the tears of those who are suffering, but it's also developing a sensitivity to cry for others that are in need. Okay, now let's continue with Yachatz. So I want to share with you a beautiful insight of the Novominsker Rebbe's father, the Pnei Nachum, who was also the Novominsker Rebbe. And the Pnei Nachum explains that in order to understand the significance of Yachatz, you have to go back to a pasuk in Parshas Miketz, zero in on one word, and note that that one word has three different meanings to it. So let's look together in source number 4. Vayar Yaakov ki yesh shever b'mitzrayim. Yaakov saw that there was shever. Shever means grain. There was food in Mitzrayim. Vayomer Yaakov levanav lama tisra'u. And Yaakov says to his sons, why do you appear satiated? I gave a whole parsha share about this not so long ago on that ambiguous phrase, lama tisra'u. It's a complicated phrase. So the word shever in this pasuk means grain. But the word shever has two other connotations as well. What's a shavur, shavura?
Broken.
Broken, right? And then look at this pasuk in Tehillim in source number 5. Ashrei she'el Yaakov be'ezro, sivro al Hashem Elokav. Praiseworthy is he in whose help is the God of Jacob. His hope is in the Lord. So the word shever means food. The word shivura means broken. And the word sever with a sin means hope. Broken, hope, and food. Now, this double entendre or triple entendre was not lost on the Medrash, because we know that as Yaakov sees that there's food in Mitzrayim, he also will be soon sending down his children and soon reunited with Yosef. And history will never be the same. So in this moment of famine, we're also setting the seeds for the ultimate reunification of the family. So look at what the Medrash writes in source number 6. Ki yesh shever, because there is grain, but in this case it means there is brokenness, zehara'av. That refers to the famine. Ki yesh sever, it's not spelled with a samach, but the Medrash wants to alert us that it's talking about the word sever, meaning hope. Ki yesh sever, zehasava. This refers to the years of satiation, of plenty, that will follow. Ki yesh shever, there's brokenness, the Yosef who rod Mitzrayimah, Yosef is brought down to Egypt. Ki yesh sever, there is hope, the Yosef who hashalit, Yosef is the ruler. Ki yesh shever, the avdum v'inum, that Hashem ultimately will enslave us and afflict us. Ki yesh sever, there is hope, the achrichen yitzu b'rechush gadol. So you see how the Medrash is drawing upon different points of Jewish history, labeling some of them as shever, moments of brokenness, and labeling other points as sever, moments of hope. Says the Novominsker Rav's father, the Pnei Nachum, that's why we break the matzah at Yachatz. Because as Jews, we know that there are moments of brokenness, but we put aside matzah for later with a deep belief that there will also be points of light in the future. There will be a happy ending to this story. So when we break the matzah at Yachatz, we dafka have to put away some for later, because we know, we believe, yes, we're about to tell the story of the Gullus and the Sheba, the exile and all of the affliction and all of the pain, but there will be a time in the future when we will celebrate. And that's the significance of breaking the matzah, the shivura, which is also the sever, which is also the hope of the future, right? The Novominsker Rav in source number 7, again quoting from his father, Yaakov had the capability, the foresight, and the emunah in Elokei Yaakov, Yaakov's God, he's quoting from the Pasuk in Tehillim, to know within every shever there is concealed hope. The present was shever, a tragic and incomplete reality. But Yaakov saw the sever, the bright future ahead. The pain of the tragedy is often overpowering, but hidden deep below the surface, completely out of sight, is a spark of hope, a spark that one day will be ignited to light up the darkness. When we take the matzah and break it, we are in a sense experiencing a shever, a breaking of something whole. The piece of broken matzah we place on the table along with the maror corresponds to the pain of the enslavement, the temporary hester panim, the concealment of Hashem, of galus. The second hidden half of matzah is the sever, the hope that only one who fully believes in Hashem's salvation recognizes it is hidden from plain sight. What a beautiful insight regarding the symbolism of yachatz. And the truth is, it's not limited only to that moment of yachatz. Matzah in general really does encapsulate both symbolisms of freedom and also of slavery. So this is a point that the Svas Emes writes about in source number 8. I guess I'm going a little Hasidish this evening, just what caught my attention this year. So the Svas Emes in source number 8 is talking about the label that the Torah gives to matzah, which is lechem oni. Lechem oni means the bread of affliction. So what exactly does that refer to? So says the Svas Emes in source number 8, lechem oni, Hamefarshim nichlaku im husimin al hagalos v'ha'inoy o al hacherus. Does the matzah represent our subjugation and our affliction, or does it represent our freedom? Umidichsiv Rashi v'Ramban yireshu al ha'inoy. According to Rashi and Ramban, it's a reference to our afflictions. Umaharal zal lohutav v'inav. The Maharal disagrees. He says it's a function of our freedom. Writes the Svas Emes v'ha'emes nira ki hu al klal ha'yirida limitzrayim, that lechem oni, matzah, represents both our descent to Egypt and the subsequent affliction, v'ha'geula. Matzah represents both our affliction and our redemption. Ki bevadai aleinu l'shabeach al ha'golos gamkein, because as Jews, we have to be thankful to Hashem for the exile, for the troubles. The imloke ma hashevach al hageula, im hayinu yicholim lehiskarev laHashem yisparach beloze. If we could have just as easily attained our spiritual heights without going through the affliction, so what do we need the affliction for? Why are we saying thank you to Hashem? What do we need the tzaras to begin with? Im kein lo hein velo scharon, elavadai. As Jews, we understand, we don't always understand the reason, but we understand the fact that Hashem wanted us to go through this experience to shape us, to form us. In this case, the Svas Emes focuses on the fact that the Shibud in Mitzrayim helped us shed our layers of arrogance that surrounded us. We had like klipos of gaiva. We had these like shells of arrogance that we had to shed. And the experience in Mitzrayim helped us shed those layers. And as believing Jews, therefore we give thanks to Ribbono Shel Olam for the multiple experiences, the galus and the geula. And that's what matzah represents, all encapsulated as one. Says this Svas Emes, that's what we make reference to a little bit later in the Haggadah, Vezesha Kasav, the bolded words in the second paragraph in source number 8, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zara Hayu Avosenu. Originally, our forefathers were worshippers of idols. V'Yaakov Uvanav Yardu Mitzrayma. We give thanks to Hashem for bringing us down to Egypt. We reference our very humble beginnings because we appreciate that through the humble beginnings and through the suffering, ultimately greatness emerged. And matzah represents both, right? The Ibn Ezra al HaTorah notes, Rav Schachter likes to point out this Ibn Ezra, that slaves were given matzah to eat because, as we'll all soon realize very quickly, matzah takes a long time to digest. And if you want to keep your slaves full for longer so they can work, you gave them matzah because it slowed down the system. But at the same time, matzah also represents the bread that we ate on the way out because we were rushing and we didn't have time for the dough to rise. So we have dual symbolism all, if you will, baked in to the matzah. So that's a very beautiful idea in terms of yachatz and in terms of the symbolism of the matzah. Now, let's continue on with Halach Ma'anya. We know at the beginning of Magid, we pick up the matzah, and we recite the following statement. The Mefarshim point out that this statement of Halach Manya was added on after Chazal finished the formal Haggadah. And what's the obvious sign of that? It's in a different language, right? The rest of the Haggadah is written in Hebrew. This is in Aramaic, which was the vernacular when we were living in Bavel at the time. But this is something that was additional. So in the source sheet, it's number 9. You're familiar with this. I chuckle because I think every family has a slightly different tune to this dirge. It's a dirge, no matter how you sing. Nobody has like a particularly good tune for Halach Ma'anya. It's all a different version of the dirge. Halach Ma'anya. You kind of feel like you're settling into slavery in Egypt as the taskmasters are whipping you, you know, with that type of tune. So let's look at the language we use for Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya di achlu avasana ba'ara de Mitzrayim. This is the bread of our affliction that we ate in Egypt. Kol dichvin yesevi yechel. Whoever's hungry, come and eat. Kol ditzrich yesevi yifsach. Whoever is interested, come and join in our Pesach sacrifice. Hashta hacha, this year we are here. L'shana haba ba'arad Yisrael. Hashta avdei, this year we are slaves. L'shana haba b'nei chorin. So there was something that caught my attention as I was preparing the shir this year, because I gave the Shabbos Hagadol drasha on the topic of the Afikomen, and we began the shir by giving kind of a rough sketch of what the Korban Pesach looked like according to the Torah in terms of some of the halachos. So we know one of the halachos is that the Korban Pesach had to be eaten in your designated group. You couldn't just join a group last minute. So the Mefarshim point out that the language that we use in the Halach Ma'anya seems to be false. Because what are we're reaching out, we're saying, whoever is hungry, come and let them eat. Kol dich ben yesiv yechel. Very nice. It's a little bit of a false statement also when you're saying this as your door is closed. Okay. But we at least conceptually are inviting anyone who's hungry to come and eat. But then we say, kol ditzrich yesiv yifsach. Whoever wants, join our Korban Pesach. That's a halachic false statement. It's not true. You missed the boat, Charlie. I'm sure there were lots of people that offered to have poor people join the Korban Pesach before the time has elapsed to join. But once that moment hit, you could not join the Korban Pesach anymore. So what are we saying? Kol ditzrich yesev yifsach. Whoever wants, come and join the Korban Pesach. It's halachically not accurate. So if you look in Rabbi Sachs's Haggadah of Yonasan Sachs, in Chazon Yamim, another beautiful Haggadah. So he points out from some of the Rishonim that, at least according to Rabbi Yeshaya Ditrani Hazakin, that this is not the correct text. We should take a pen, not on Yantif, and cross it out. If you look on the right side of source number 10, Beferusho Lehaggadah Shal Pesach Kasav Rabbi Yeshaya Ditrani Hazakin, Nira Li Delo Garsinon Lei. This is actually not the text. She'ein lanu ata Pesach. First of all, we don't have a Korban Pesach. Va'afilu haya lanu ata Pesach, lo hayu mezamdino. So we wouldn't invite anybody. She'ein ha Pesach ne'echal ela leminuyav kishucha. You can only add people to your Korban Pesach when the little shepsel is still alive, not after it was shechted, and for sure not at night. Ulam, however, shibale haleke kasa v'shem achiv Rabbi Binyamin, Kodem Shchitas HaPesach Ka'amri Lei. Well, maybe this statement of Kol Ditzrich Yesev Yifsach was said before the Korban Pesach was shechted. V'kav'uhu be'agada l'zecher ba'alma. And it got its way into the Agada just as a remembrance. If we would be in the times of Yisrael Mikdash, Itaka would have been said before Chatzos of Erev Pesach. And now it's there as like a nice reminder. Yeah, Yaakov?
Wasn't Pesach way after Yitzhak
Mitzrayim. Right. Okay, but they were still offering the Korban Pesach at that time too. So since they were offering the Korban Pesach at that time too, it was a relevant way to invite people to your Siddurim. It had to be done, though, according to the halachic protocol. Now, on the left side, Rabbi Sachs quotes on the Abu Draham, V'Abu Draham Kasav, D'chol T'tzarech Yesev Yifsach, that invitation, whoever wants to join in the Korban Pesach, join, Koi aseder haPesach bichlal. No, it means if you want to join our Pesach seder, velo a korban Pesach. We're not inviting people to the korban Pesach because, first of all, unfortunately, we don't have it, and it's too late. When we say in Halach Ma'anya, kol ditzrich yesev yifsach, Whoever wants to join in our Seder, come and join along. Right? And he quotes the Abu Jiraham Bezel Shono, Efshar Sheyesh Lo Adam Pas Orez Upas Dochan. It could be a person has food. It's not the issue. In the first part of that phrase, we say whoever is hungry, kol dichvin yesev yechol. In the second part, we say kol ditzrich yesev yifsach, means like if you're alone and you want to join our family at the Seder, gezuntahet, there are people that have food. Ve'ein lo matzas mitzvah v'tzorche ha-pesach kegon charoses umarur v'yayin l'arbakosos. Lekach Omer kol ditzrich yesev yifsach. That's why it's formulated in this way. The truth is, the Hebrew that I read is a little bit different from what I just discussed. The way that Abu John phrases it, people could have food, but they might not have matzah, they might not have maror, they might not have charoses. So when we say kol ditzrich yesev yifsach, means join our seder. We've got all the matzah, the maror, the charoses. You'll join us. I know you're not hungry, but you'll join us for the right mitzvos halayla. And he also points out, and I have a deeper appreciation for this, after giving the Shabbos HaGadol drasha, that it could be that the twofold phrase here, called dichvin yesev yechol, whoever is hungry, let them come and eat, is a reference to, what do we talk about on Shabbos? The Korban Chagiga. Let's say this was in times of the Beis HaMikdash. Before the Korban was offered, so I could still add people, the main course of the Seder night was the Korban Chagiga, right? We talked about this on Shabbos. The Korban Pesach was ne'echal ala sova, was eaten once you were full. So if you will say that we're trying to recreate the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the twofold statement might be referring to the two different Korbanos. Kol dichvin yesev yechol, who is ever hungry, come, you'll join with me and have the Korban Chagiga. Kol ditzrich, who's ever interested, after that, yesev yifsach, we'll have from the Korban Pesach. So there are many layers of understanding this one sentence in the Halach Ma'anya. There's also another beautiful Haggadah by Rabbi Aaron Goldscheider called The Night That Unites. I've talked about this Haggadah on a number of different occasions. So he has just a beautiful compilation of different rabbinic personalities that don't always go together, such as Rav Kook and Rabbi Soloveitchik. So Rabbi Goldscheider here quotes an interesting insight from Rav Kook regarding the two-prong statement. Whoever is hungry, come and eat. Whoever wants Pesach, come and join. He writes in source number 11, now that we are no longer slaves, we can fulfill our noble mission to help the hungry of the world. We do this by providing for those who are physically in need and by offering our assistance to those who have spiritual needs. Rav Kook teaches that we first call out, let all who are hungry come and eat. However, this is only one aspect. We actually aspire for more, for it is followed by, let all who are in need spiritually, let them partake of the Passover. According to Rav Kook, we were liberated from bondage in Egypt so we could bring liberation to the entire world. However, we must first liberate ourselves so we are able to fully serve the world. A very beautiful idea, and maybe that's another level of kol dichvin yesev yechol, whoever is hungry physically will feed you, but it doesn't stop there. Then there's a spiritual hunger, right? The Navi talks about in the end of days that we're going to be hungry, below ala lechem, below ala mayim. Ki im, there are people who are going to be hungry for what? For the knowledge of Hashem. So it could be the multiple layers are a reference to the different types of hungers that people have, the physical hunger, and then the spiritual hunger. And lastly, on this point, I want to share with you from Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Haggadah, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. His Haggadah is called Siach HaPesach. Has a little bit of a halachic analysis, but it's very sharp. Says Rav Chaim Kanievsky as follows. Ein lefarish, in source 12, dekoy al hakorban Pesach, sharei ein hapesach nechal el leminuyav. The Korban Pesach can only be eaten with a designated group. Ela demayri bizman hazeh, she'ein lanu Korban Pesach. It must be talking about this time period when we don't have a Korban Pesach. So the offer is sincere. To come and join the Seder, it's not too late. V'ka'amar yesi v'yifsach, she'yese eschag ha-Pesach ba'achila v'shtiyah. Join my Pesach Seder, you'll eat, you'll drink. V'ka'amar, but that's why Halach Manya finishes with Hashtahachi, ani yuchal lehazmino. This year we're here in the Golos without a Beis HaMikdash, so I can still invite you, even though it's well past Chatzos. Aval Shana Haba Be'ara Di Yisrael. Next year, Mirtz Hashem, the Beis Hamikdash will be standing. V'lo Uchal Az Lehazmino. Then I won't be able to invite you. It'll be too late. De'ein HaPesach Ne'echal Ela Liminuyar. That's why I'm only inviting you this year, Hashtahacha. Next year, Mirtz Hashem, we'll have the meal together, but we'll have to take advantage of the invitation before. V'chitema, if you'll ask, Ma yasu az haniyim, shelo hizmino mi erev yom tov, v'lo shachatu aleh on Pesach. But what are we going to do? Next year, Nebuch, there will be aniyim. Even if the Beis HaMikdash is around, there will be aniyim. Who's going to take care of these aniyim that were not designated to join a Korban Pesach? Alzeh ka'amar, that's why we conclude, Hashta Avdi, this year we are enslaved, aval ashana haba b'nei chorin. Next year we'll be free, v'yukula nashirim, we'll all be wealthy, v'lo yitztrichu l'kach she'acherim yazminum. We won't rely on other people's invitations, we'll have the resources ourselves. It reads so smoothly, no? Really a beautiful halachic insight from Rav Chaim Kanievsky regarding the end of the Halach Ma'anya. Really a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful insight. It reads like butter once you have his insight in mind. Okay, so moving along now. I know I'm speaking a little too fast. Should I slow down or everyone's with me? Okay, good. So and on the top of page number 4, again, I remind all of those joining on Zoom, and for those of you in person, there are about 500 people on Zoom. So Baruch Hashem, you got on. A little rabbinic hyperbole never hurt anybody. So on Zoom, though, I did load the source sheet into the chat. If you look at the chat button on the bottom, you'll see the source sheet. So a little bit deeper into the Haggadah, when we give the answer to the Manishtana, and we say in source number 13, Avad Aminu Paru Mitzrayim, right? We were slaves and now we're free, and we have to tell this story. Source number 13, Vafilu Kulanu Chachamim, Kulanu Nivonim, Kulanu Zikenim, Kulanu Yodim Es HaTorah, Mitzvah Aleinu Lesaper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. Even if we were very wise and understanding, and elderly, so we've done this for many years, we still have a mitzvah, l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim, to tell over the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And then the Baal Haggadah finishes off with a well-known statement, v'chol hamarbe l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim. If you tell over the story and you go above and beyond, right, marbe means to increase. The more you tell the story, hareze meshubach, you should be praised. So I want to share with you a beautiful insight of the Sfas Emes in source number 14. He writes, "Kol amar b'lesaper b'tzias Mitzrayim areiz meshubach lachein zochrin yitzias Mitzrayim b'chol yom." The concept of yitzias Mitzrayim is so fundamental to our faith system that we have a mini mitzvah every day. We just talked about this in between Mincha and Maariv. There's the daily obligation of zechiras yitzias Mitzrayim, and then there is the once a year annual obligation of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what we are involved with on the night of the Seder. So says the Sfas Emes, it's so important to touch upon this mitzvah. Every day we make reference to it. Lachein zochrin Yetzias Mitzrayim b'chol yom, va'ayedei ha-sipur mis'orer kitzas ge'ula b'chlal uveprat kol nefesh mi'Yisrael. By making reference daily to the Exodus, we touch a little bit of that redemption. Harei zem mishubach. Here comes the beautiful part. When the Baal Haggadah says, you should be praised, right? Eino simin shu mishubach. It doesn't mean, you're a yid that sit at the Seder until 3 a.m. Harei zem mishubach. Praiseworthy to you. No. What does the Sfas Emes write? Rak shena'asem mishubach ayidei hasipur. In other words, hareze meshubach means it doesn't mean you should be praised. What does it mean? You become better through telling the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Hareze meshubach. You have become a better Jew through this experience. Ukimo shehaya Yitzias Mitzrayim hachana lekabalas haTorah vekabalas malchus shemayim. Just like leaving Mitzrayim was preparation for receiving the Torah, and ultimately accepting upon ourselves the yoke of heaven, kimo chein gam ata, kifimah she'oskim b'tzias Mitzrayim, zochin l'Torah. The work that we're doing at the Seder prepares us ultimately for Kabbalah Satorah. But I love that reframe. That's like a classic Hasidic insight. To take one sentence that you thought you understood, Kol Amar Belisab Erareze Meshubach, oh, what a gevalda geyid! And say, no, that's not what the pshat is. The pshat is Kol Amar Belisaper Hareze Meshubach, you become better. You become a more profoundly believing Jew the more you focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim. And with that in mind, the Sfasema says we can also understand the passage which follows. A very unusual passage of these five rabbis who are sitting together and they're retelling the story of the Exodus all night long. In source number 15, Ma'aseh Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon. You have these five rabbis that were sitting, Shemesubim ben Vnei Brak, Vayimisaprim b'tzias Mitzrayim kolos olayim. They were schmoozing, and schmoozing in a good way, telling about the Yetzias Mitzrayim all night long. Ad shebol tamideyim v'amru lehem rabosenu. Higia zman kriya shema shel shachar. It's a famous story of the five rabbis. So the Svas MS here also asks the following question. What's so impressive? I mean, these are the five of the greatest Tanaim that we have. Is it such a chiddush that they were staying up all night long and going over the story of the Exodus? When you see your rabbi walking home on Shavuos morning after staying up all night long learning, do you say, oh, what a grace tzaddik? No, you say, oh, that's what you should be doing. He's the rabbi. He stays up all night. That's what we pay him the big bucks for, right? So what are we so impressed in this statement that these five rabbis, grace tzaddikim, staying up all night long? That's the kasha of the Svas Emes. He writes in source number 16, Ve'eno rachok lomar, ki ma'aseh be'bnei brak, haya, hold on to your kippahs and your hats, be'layla acharas. Says the Svas Emes, maybe this incident that we read about was not on the night of the 15th of Nisan. Maybe it was a different night. Shehayu misaprin osa halayla b'yetzias Mitzrayim ad or haboker. Maybe these rabbis were staying up all night long a different night. They were so taken by Yetzias Mitzrayim that they decided to talk about it and share Divrei Torah and schmooze about it more and more until it was time for Kriyat Shema. It wasn't even Pesach. That's how special the mitzvah was. Says the Svas Emes, De'im lo hachi kasha pshita. Obviously on the night of the Seder, that's what they were doing. You don't praise them for doing their job. It must be it was something more anomalous. And that would be a different night of the year. Vahaya efshar olomar, the Svas Emes says, alternatively, you could also say, ki haya kodem achilas matza omara. Here's another very interesting suggestion. That maybe these five rabbis were in the section of the Agada of Magid, and they didn't even get up to matzah and maror. Shayu shochachem le'echol ayadei sipor. They got so engrossed in the story, they didn't even get up to the matzah. B'shegam osek b'mitzah potter min ha-mitzah. We know that if you're involved in one mitzah, you're officially exempt from another mitzvah. So b'prat shebematzah pligi b'zman hazeh doraisa. V'sipur yitzias Mitzrayim l'chulei amadoraisa. Everyone agrees that the night of the 15th, there is a biblical mitzvah to retell the story of the Exodus. Matzah, that's subject to a machlokas rishonim if it's doraisa. We pass when it is doraisa. But it makes a lot of sense that the rabbis were so caught up with what was definitively a biblical mitzvah that they might have lost the count of the time. And before they know it, the students were saying, Rabosai, Rabosai, it's Shachar's time. You got to give the drasha. Okay, says the Svas Emes further, Uma she'ein mevorchim birchas ha-mitzos al-sipor yitzias Mitzrayim. Says the Svas Emes, a question we addressed this evening before Mincha Mariv, between Mincha Mariv. How come we don't make a bracha asher kidishanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu al mitzvahs sipor yitzias Mitzrayim? Because it's a unique mitzvah for the night of the 15th. So the Svas Emes addresses this here too. He says, Yesh lomar, Shehudavar hamutal aleinu be'atzminu. This is something that we should want to do on our own. Gam im lo hayinu mitzuvin azos. Even if we were not obligated to do so. V'lo shayich al zebracha. Can you imagine for a moment? I can imagine this because it's a common scenario in my home where one of my children hits the other child. So we say to the aggressor, go and apologize to your sister, your brother. So the aggressor goes over and says, Abba said that I have to say sorry, I'm sorry. Right? What type of apology is that? Right? So the same is true when it comes to gratitude. If you go up to somebody that offered you a beautiful meal, you are a guest in someone's home, it's a beautiful meal, and you get up to them and say, no, my wife is going to kill me if I don't say thank you. So a graysi ashekalach. What type of graysi ashekalach? It's nothing, it's bogus. Says the Sfasemes, if we would make a bracha, asher kedishanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu al mitzvas sipor yitzias mitzrayim, you know what message we're sending to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Hashem, I'm doing this because you made me do so. Now, we love doing mitzvos because Hashem made us do so. That's the beautiful part of mitzvos. But when it comes to Yitzias Mitzrayim, it's a mitzvah that relates to gratitude. Gratitude should not be commanded. It should come naturally. Says the Sfasemes, that's why there's no bracha. Involvement in Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim raises us up spiritually. We should grab the opportunity and delve into it all night long. But ultimately, we shouldn't feel like we're compelled to do so. And that's why Chazal did not include a bracha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a beautiful insight from the Sfasemes. Yeah, it's a good question. I don't have an answer to that. Halal too, there should be no bracha on Halal. The only explanation I can give you is that Yetzias Mitzrayim is really centered fully on gratitude, on Hakaras HaTov. When it comes to Hallel, it certainly is our praise of Hashem, but praise of Hashem is not necessarily the same thing as Hakaras HaTov, and we praise Hashem for Rosh Chodesh, for the Moadim, for all sorts of other areas, I think well beyond what is like classically the Hakaras HaTov model. But it's a very good question. Yaakov.
Wasn't it told that Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, they all lived in a different
They loved in different cities. Rabbi Akiva was the Mara D'Asra. That's actually something Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky points out. Because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he is of the opinion that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim has to be finished by Chatzos. You have to finish eating the Korban Pesach by Chatzos, and you have to finish the mitzvah also of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim by Chatzos. So what was he doing all night long? For him, the mitzvah was over. So Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky says, yeah, but who, we know from the Gemara in Sanhedrin that Rabbi Akiva was the Mara D'Asra of Bnei Brak. So when in Bnei Brak, do like Bnei Brak, right? So that's why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was willing to engage, and probably wasn't a hard sell, but he was willing to engage in the midst of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim all night long because he was a kafuf to the Rav of the year. Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky says that's also why Rabbi Akiva is listed before Rabbi Tarfon. We know from Gemaras that Rabbi Tarfon was Rabbi Akiva's Rabbi. But in the city where Rabbi Akiva was the Rav, Rabbi Akiva was listed first. He's not listed first in this list. That's a good kasha. Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky doesn't address that. All right, let's keep on going now. Just give me one second. Okay, let's keep on going now. Regarding the Dalid Banim. So there's a very... Yes, please.
Do all three of them hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah?
They were not Bar Pluktas. We have a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva in this matter. Right. So we don't know what the other three necessarily held. And
I was just wondering if Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua...
Right.
Like Rabbi Elazar.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't know if they had positions on that particular matter. Okay, so the Dalid Banim. Now, I don't know what it's like at your Siddurim, but I remember growing up, you know, when the Dalid Banim section of Haggadah came up, everybody would try to point to themselves when it comes to the Chacham and point to your brother when it comes to the Rasha, right? So a lot of family minhagim surrounding the Dalid Banim. But there's a very interesting, very, very interesting insight from the Shemen HaTov that I'd like to share with you. The Shemen HaTov is Rabbi Bernard Weinberger, who was the Mara D'Asra of the Young Israel of Brooklyn. You have to imagine, he must have had a shul very early on to be able to name his shul Young Israel of Brooklyn. But he was the Mara D'Asra in the 20th century. He was really a tremendous Talmid Chacham, and he writes a beautiful Haggadah from the Shemen HaTov. So let's just read from the Haggadah. Chacham Mahu Omer, Maha Eidos Vehachukim VaMishpatim Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. What are all of these laws that Hashem asks of you? VeAf Ata Emor Lo Kilchos HaPesach. So the Haggadah says, we respond with giving a lengthy shir on the halachos of Pesach, including or ending with a maftirin achar haPesach afikoman. Now that phrase, that last phrase, a maftirin achar haPesach afikoman, you should just realize is the second to last mishnah Maseches Pesachim. In fact, according to the Rambam's Girsa, there is a word ad before the last phrase. Ad ein maftirin achar haPesach afikoman, which makes a lot of sense, right? Because the response to the Chacham is, we'll give you a shir in Hilchos Pesach. Ad until basically the last mishnah, the last section of Mishnah Pesachim. That'll encapsulate all of the laws. But the Shem Natov goes a little bit deeper. And he wants to understand what's the significance of sharing with the Chacham the concept of the Afikomen. And this is going to relate to some of the themes we talked about at the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha. So in source number 18, the Shem Natov writes as follows. He already pointed out that this question is not really asked in the year when the Jewish people left Egypt. This was a question for future generations. He writes in the second line, in source 18, De'ikr she'ilas ha'chacham, hulo al hador yotze'i mitzrayim. This question was not really aimed at the generation that left Egypt. De'heim ro'u oso sumofsim be'nehem, ve'heim hekiru es yad Hashem ha'gedola b'mitzrayim. That generation, so they saw the hand of God. They didn't need to inquire. Ela hashela hu al doros habaim kishiyu shuv begalus. This is a question that the future generations will ask at Sidorim that will take place in the exile, future exiles. V'shoal mahu hachagiga shel cherus sheyatzu mimitzrayim v'heim ka'es od hapam begalus v'af she'eno kasha kimitzrayim. The Chacham's going to say, why are we celebrating a festival of freedom if we're still in Gehak Tetzaris, if we're still in the exile? Might not be as bad as Mitzrayim, but what's the point of celebrating Zman Cheiruseinu if we're not free anymore? And then he says further, Uve Iker Hu Shoel, Lama Anu Misakvim Kol Kach Besipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why do we fixate on the Exodus? We've already reached higher levels. We're going to talk about many levels of spiritual heights that we reached well beyond the shores of the Nile, right, of the Red Sea. So why are we fixating on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? We talk about Kabbalah HaTorah, the Beis Hamikdash. So why is there this sensual theme of Yetzias Mitzrayim if we're Nachamol in Galus and we've got a lot more to be aspiring toward? So the answer, says Rabbi Bernard Weinberger, is as follows in source number 18, paragraph 2. Ubal Hagada mitaritz ve'omer lo bekitzer nimratz. And the Baal Hagada answers the following. In maftirin achar ha-pesach afikoman. We don't add any more desserts after the afikoman, meaning the hainu kimoshe b'matzah hadinhu shetzarech shayashir tam ha-matzah b'piv. Just like we know the halacha is that the flavor of the matzah sustain your mouth, nothing comes after the matzah, no food at least. Zehu gam kein inyan shel avadim hayinu. That's the same idea regarding avadim hayinu. Hainu dehainu sipur yetzias Mitzrayim, which means really the story of the Exodus. The Ayidei Hasipur Biyetzias Mitzrayim Yisgal Elo Dechol Hamadregos Sha'alu Bahen Yisrael Acharkach. Because we realize when we tell the story of Biyetzias Mitzrayim that all of the spiritual heights that we reached afterwards, Koleles Hakol Mashe Yavo Umashe Yischarish. I think I skipped a line, right? I basically what he says over here is we realize when we talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim, that everything we reached after that point was a result of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Shekol hadalad malchios heim pratim hayotzim Yitzias Mitzrayim. The four kingdoms, in other words, the four subjugations that we've experienced as a people, it all stemmed from Mitzrayim. Ve'ein le'aved oso hatam shel hamatz lechem oni, she'onim alav devarm harbe sheba'u v'sheyavau. Basically, what Rabbi Weinberger is suggesting is that the messages, the kernels of wisdom that we gain from Yetzias Mitzrayim are relevant for every other episode in Jewish history. And therefore we tell this Chacham, you think that story has passed? You think we have other heights to talk about? It all comes back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's like we talked about on Shabbos and Gadol, that Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. It's ultimately through realizing Hashkachas Hashem, the divine intervention which we experience, the intimacy with God that we felt when we left Mitzrayim, everything is built up from that pillar. And that's really the message that we're giving to the Chacham, in maftirin achar ha-pesach achikoma, nothing comes after the achikoma, nothing really comes after Yetzias Mitzrayim. That is our anchor. And everything is built off of that. Okay, so it's a nice drush. It's really a nice drush. Just one sharp piece from Reb Chaim Kanievsky. I was just scrolling through his Agada. He asks us, Gavalda Kakasha, we emorlo, Rav Afata emorlo, the Baal Haggadah should have written, we tell him, Hilchos HaPesach. What do you mean, Ke Hilchos HaPesach? The Chaf is the Chaf HaDimyon, like the laws of Pesach. What do you mean, like? We tell him the laws of Pesach. What's the Chaf? So says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shamati mi Rabbeinu, Lefarish Mao, Hilchos HaPesach, Havi Leilomar, Hilchos HaPesach. It should have just said, Hilchos Pesach. V'ela Kavanas Baal Haggadah, Shela Chacham Tzrichim Lilamid Es Hil HaHalachos Aval Lav Davka Shilchos Pesach Atzmam El Afilu Ma Sheshayech Lazeh Va'eno Mihilchos HaPesach Atzmo Kigon Hilchos Yom Tov. In other words, you got someone with a good mind, you don't just teach him Hilchos Pesach, you teach him lots of Halachos. Kihilchos HaPesach. Okay, so you have to teach the laws of Pesach, the laws of Yantif, the laws of Shabbos. If he's got a good mind, teach him lots of halacha. So that's the chaf. Kihilchos HaPesach. Okay, it's a sweet little answer. I'm going to end off, because I see that the hour is getting late, with the Rasha. With the Rasha, and I'll share with you what the Novominsker says and what the Shemin HaTov says. They basically say the same point. I'll share it with you Ba'al Peh. There's something very important to realize about the Rasha, which I myself did not have a full appreciation of until I prepared this year. Let's look in the Haggadah in Source 20. Rasha, Mahu Omer. Again, I have visions of my brothers pointing to me when we get to Rasha. Rasha, Mahu Omer. Ma ha'avoda hazos lachem. What is the meaning of this service to you? Lachem v'lolo. It's to us, but not to him. And because he removed himself, what's this service to you? He's a heretic. He removes himself from the Jewish people. We say, this is what Hashem did for me. When we left, he's a real Rasha. Okay. Now there is a very important textual point that you have to be aware of. The Rasha's question comes from Shemos Parshas Bo Perek Yud Beis. Look in Source 21. V'haya ki omru aleichem b'neichem. It will be a time in the future when your children will say to you, Ma ha'avoda hazos lachem. That's the Rasha's question. Ma avoda hazos, right? But if you look in the next pasuk, the pasuk answers this child. V'amartem zebach pesach hu lachem. Asher pasach abatei bnei Yisrael b'mitzrayim b'nagpo es mitzrayim es batinu itzil v'yikodam yishachavu. That's the answer that the Torah provides for the Rasha. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't quote that pasuk when we respond to the Rasha. We quote the pasuk, ba'avur zeh asah Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzrayim. That's taken from Shemos, Perek Yud Gimel. V'higad etal abincha b'yom ahu le'mor, so the Meforshim on the Haggadah are startled by this point. We bring in a kasha of the Rasha. That is a portion of the Torah which speaks to one of the Dalibanim. But the answer that the Torah provides is not the answer that we provide. We go to a different parak. Why do we do that? So in the Novominsker Haggadah and in the Shemin HaTov, he quotes in the Beis HaLevi, they both give the same answer. And the answer is that the Rasha, in this case, does not deserve an answer. He's asking with such cynicism, with such a pernicious tone, he doesn't deserve an answer. Now, obviously, we're not talking about our own children, because our own children do deserve answers, and we always have to love our children. The Rashi here is not the prototype of a child. It's talking about a scoffer, a cynic, someone that's really mechutz lemachaneh. Someone that asks a question with such a pernicious tone, cynical tone, doesn't deserve an answer. So when the Haggadah says, V'af atah haket shina ve'emar lo, you say to him, it's not the Rasha, it's the other child at the table. The she'eno yodei lishol, the one who doesn't know any better, who could be persuaded. And we say, Ba'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeisi Mitzrayim, there is a Ribono shel Olam that loves us, that was intimately involved in our redemption. And that's why we do what we do. We're not talking to the Rasha. We're talking to ourselves. We're talking to others at the table that need the chizuk. That we feel hurt by the Rasha's chutzpah dika question. And we need chizuk for ourselves. We need chizuk for our other children that need to hear, Ba'avor zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeisim. Hashem loves us. Hashem did for us. Hashem redeemed us from Mitzrayim. And that's the answer. The Novominsker, I think, points out, or maybe it's the Shemin HaTov, that you actually see this from the language of the Haggadah as well. Because the Haggadah says as follows, V'af atah haket shina ve'emor lo, you say to him, no, there's another part of the Haggadah, I'm just...
Emor lo,
right? Emor lo, exactly.
Say it to you. You say it, you don't answer him directly.
Right, you're referring to him in the third person, and you're not speaking to the Rasha. You're giving chizuk to yourself and to others at the table. So I just think it's a beautiful idea, but more importantly, I'm taken by the diyuk, because how many times have we said this Haggadah and not realized that the opening quote of Ma Ha'avoda Zos Lachem is from a different parak than the answer? So the answer is quite beautiful in terms of the chizuk, but just appreciating the divergence of the text is extremely important as well. Okay, so that takes us to a full hour of studying the Haggadah together. I hope that some of these ideas resonated with you, and it would be a great zechus for me if you'd share some of these ideas at your Pesach. So please take it, enjoy it. It's a privilege to learn together as always. Yasher Koach, everybody, both in person and on Zoom. Yasher Koach.